We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the unceded lands this podcast is recorded from, the Yugambeh and Cammeraygal peoples.
We pay our respects to the elders of past and present and celebrate the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their ongoing cultures and connection to country.
Our guest today, Micah, is speaking to us from the traditional ancestral homeland of the Abenaki, Penacook and Wabanaki peoples, past and present. You're listening to the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast.
We're on a mission to deliver high-quality climbing and adventure resources to badass climbing mamas.
And redefine motherhood one episode at a time.
With incredible guests.
Very bad humour.
And just enough Kleenex moments to keep things interesting.
So grab yourself a cuppa or plug us in on the way to the crag.
As we bring you the latest beta from the Mum's Gone Climbing crew.
Hi guys, welcome to the show. I am Eva Rosenbaum.
And I am Nell Gow, and we will be your hosts for today's episode of the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast. We're welcoming back ice climber, guide, author, filmmaker, founder and executive director of Legado, the amazing Micah Birdhart. Ah, so excited to have this gorgeous woman back with us.
Yeah, if you didn't catch last fortnight's episode, go back and have a listen as well because she is just incredible.
She really is. Before we jump into some more chats about Micah, big thank you to our sponsors for this episode and for series. Oh my gosh, what are we up to? Series four?
I know.
Series four. Urban Climbing Climbing Anchors. We love them.
We love them. How can you not love them? Climbing Anchors, they have been with us for many seasons now. They have stores in New South Wales and Victoria. Alexandria is their main store in New South Wales, with mini stores at 9 Degrees in Langcove and Waterloo, and a store in Fitzroy in Victoria. They are our one-stop shop for all of your adventure equipment needs, and they are very generously looking after our Mum's Gone Climbing community with a special discount just for you guys. It's 12.5% off everything in store and online outside of sale items. The code is MGC2023. We'll put it in the show notes for you in case you forget. Jump online, have a shop. It is well worth it.
It is indeed well worth it. The only thing to remember with that code is that you can't apply it to sale items, which I point out because Climbing Anchors is having another massive sale with 20 to 50% off selected items. I got a little sneaky email from the team to be like, go and take a look. They've got stuff on there from Arc'teryx, Black Diamond, E9, Metolis, Petzl, Camp, Mammut, Wild Country, oh my gosh, The North Face, Patagonia. So there's so many things that are coming up for sale. They're up for sale now and they're going to be going until Sunday the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. So get on there, grab some deals. And if there's some stuff that isn't on sale, you can just use our code for that stuff and then have discounts on everything, which is absolutely wonderful. So go and check it out. Ah, so excited for all the goodness. Our other sponsor is Urban Climb. They have incredible gyms in Brisbane. They've got three, Milton, Newstead and West End. We had our little Christmas party up at the West End gym a couple of weeks ago and it was absolutely phenomenal.
What was it?
So much fun. I'm sure there's some photos up on Instagram somewhere of us being hilarious. They also have one up in Townsville and in Blackburn and Collingwood in Melbourne. So love this community. The Urban Climb community is such a wonderful space. They have a lot of things going on. Check out their website for different courses, different events. They really do have like just such a great space for people to connect. And that's why we love them so much. Also, we're about to head into silly season, like Merry Christmas, Happy New Year and all the rest.
Oh my goodness. Again. It's like the stock standard, right? Every year, don't you find yourself, oh, can't believe it's come around again. Where's the year gone? Like every year.
I know. This is so true. And like, yeah, heading into a new year, 2024, I don't know. I'm quietly excited about next year.
Just yeah?
Yeah, I like to be quietly excited because of all the tumultuous years we've had in the past 5 years.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but 2023 was a little bit smoother. I think like, yeah.
You're going to continue that trend.
Yes, I think so. And there's lots of wonderful things happening in 2024. But, you know, you'll find them out if you keep listening to us, which I hope you do, because we love having you guys along.
We do.
This is our second episode with Micah. What did you take away from these chats? I think we got more into like what she does for work and all that balance that people go through.
Yeah, I think she has a very honest discussion around what balance actually looks like. That was very helpful for me. And I was very inspired by the Legado Foundation. But hearing about that organization and the work that they do, and oh my goodness, it's really touching and it's really beautiful to know that there are people like that in the world.
Yeah, yeah. So we will hear a lot more about Legado in this chat. It was one of the things that, yeah, just really drew me into Micah and everything that she's about. But for those of you who don't know, it's an international organization that helps, you know, secure thriving futures. Thriving futures is something they talk about a lot for both people and the places they call home. So they do a lot of work with Indigenous communities to protect areas of great biodiversity around the world, where they pretty much work with the locals and say, hey, we're here, we have these resources, we have people, experts in this field, but what do you want to do? Let's help you create the plan that you want, and what does your community need, so that like there is so many benefits. And a lot of how they run that organization has been affected and impacted by Micah's journey into motherhood. And, you know, you hear a lot.
Which is so cool.
It's incredible. Like the connections that she has made, like through these different experiences, just gives me goosebumps. It's so special. And just the approach that Legado takes, working with local communities who have extensive place knowledge, who have cultures tied closely to these incredible places of biodiversity, it's just so powerful and so needed in our world. And with that, we're going to drop into the episode. Hope you enjoy it. I guess possibly on that same sort of a tangent, but a little bit off, I want to go back to that idea of balance. And I think balance between all of these things, balance between your climbing, which is also your job, Micah, and then, you know, your work in conservation and with Legado, and your role as a mother, your role as a wife, and then finding balance with all this. I listened to a couple of interviews that you've done where you talk about like you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. And I love that, because I think, you know, for women, you know, we went from being like in this very maternal role, that's where society put us. And then, you know, we were fighting to have more. And then it was like, you can have it all. And you're like, but can we? Like, there's literally only 24 hours in the day. And then that puts this insane amount of pressure on us. So yeah, I'd love to hear your perspective on that, because I think you're a woman who, honestly, like in my view, like you have reached such amazing heights in all levels of what you're doing. So it's super inspiring.
I think it's like the way I would say it, I actually think balance is kind of bullshit. I think that we have, we've been sold a bill that if we have balance, we'll feel okay. What is balance, right? Like it's, and I actually talk about it in the book, because I'm like, maybe if I did this, I'd feel more balanced. And then I had this moment in the book where I said, I think I've gotten it wrong. I think it's like balance is maybe in the micro moment that maybe I touched all these parts of my life today, and that's balance. It doesn't mean that they were equal. It's just like we think that a balance has to have what, you know, like there's a scale, and you know, you spent 20 chips as a mom and 20 chips as an athlete and 20 chips as an executive director of Legado for me. And so like, therefore I had a balanced day. That never happens. So it's like, you're like chasing the rabbit and, or whatever, the rabbit chasing the carrot, whatever the analogy is I'm trying to make. You're chasing something that you're never going to catch. Right? It's like, and I think that we then get crushed and crush ourselves in that pursuit, like, because we are not balanced. And what if it's just, I'm okay with where I am, right? Like this day was, I had an okay day. Like I feel okay in all the ways that I am myself. Not like it's like I feel balanced today, not because it actually equivocated across those things, but I'm just here as me. And I think that kind of goes to this concept of having it all or not having it all at once. And you know, I like called the book More early on because people like my whole life have just teased me about like being intense and trying all these different things, but it's just this steadfast determination that you can have more. You just have to define what your more is, right? And you have to be willing to go pursue it and knock against the edge and have it push back at you and respond. It's not a frictionless system. And it's also not, it's going to change. What your more is going to change, right? Like, and I think like that's where we have to give people the ability to ride their journey, whatever that journey is, because you can change your mind, right? Like you could get to this point of saying, this is exactly the formulary that works for me. And that's going to give me happiness and balance. And then you get there and you're like, got that wrong, right? Don't feel so good about this. I want to go do this thing instead. And I think that's interesting to me because I think it comes back to this conversation that we've been having this whole time, which I think we need new narratives for moms and for women, right? And I think that it's time. And if you look at the way the history of women's liberation, we are in this dawn of this new push towards this. And I think we, you know, certainly in the US, there's been a huge wake up moment with losing abortion rights, like losing universal rights to, which is just mind blowing to me that happened in our country, that Roe v. Wade was struck down. And it also is this incredible call to action of saying, we have been sleeping. We thought, like, that's one of the things for me when I became a mom and I talked in the book where I really thought we were further along. And then suddenly I'm a mom and I'm like, whoa, what the heck is this? Like, who knew that I was subjected to all these systems that I thought were like baloney and you only became subject to them if you were some weak person, you know? And instead I'm like, oh no, they are so entrenched. And like, that's that moment of how we get active, but it's also stepping away from these narratives of your option is to have it all or to be like a wallflower. Right? And it's like, no, we are all in this journey for our more or for our, like our version of all in the moment, but don't hold me to it because my all in the moment is going to change and I have all the power in the world to do that. So get out of my way.
I love that. My God. Yeah.
Also, just to throw back to like 5 minutes ago when you said balance is bullshit. I do this every episode. Can we name it balance is bullshit now?
Oh, totally. Yes, of course.
I love that. It is. I feel like that we've talked a lot about like, if you want to say balance, but like just how fluid everything is, you know, how fluid risk is, how fluid the balance of different things in life is, how fluid your emotions are. Like, I think that's another thing because women are like, have always been like, you're too emotional, blah, 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 blah. You know, like we've been hit with that so much that we're like, okay, fine. We won't be emotional. It's like, fuck, we are emotional and it's freaking amazing.
Did you see Barbie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. There's a great line. I'm going to totally butcher this, but it's something like, I can like, it was the president or something saying, I can be emotional and a great leader. Like, I'm not confused that those things go together. Right. And it's that piece of the puzzle of, because so, you know, I even had a conversation with a woman in her 70s recently, and we were talking about, I was like having a conversation with my kids about like adoption. And then suddenly we were having a conversation about abortion. And it was like, cause it just kind of like, you know, we're kind of following the journey of what happens if you can't have a baby and what happens, you know, what happens next. And I'm just, it's like the stage is set right in front of you. And you're like, I'm going to step right on that with my kids. Right. And so I was like, okay, so here's what happens. And, you know, did it at like a 7-year-old level, but it wasn't like, oh no, we don't talk about that. It's like, no, we need to talk about this because this is not something that we can like, if I want my kids to fight for that, right, they need to have it be normalized to them now. And I was telling this woman who was in her 70s about this. And she said, yeah, but you know, like we just have to make sure we're not too shrill about this. And I heard that. And I thought to myself, shrill, that's one of those that's like how women were controlled, like, oh, you're too emotional. Don't be shrill. Don't speak, you know, it's like, don't be bossy. It's all in that language that we're breaking out of and saying, this is not shrill. This is me saying what I need to say. And I think that is we can redefine what balance is for us. I don't know anyone who ever says that they found that. So don't you think it's wrong? If nobody finds it, Shouldn't we change it? Because otherwise you just feel like you're coming up short all the time. Why should we ever have a goal that we never can access? That seems like a really bad way to feel good about yourself. Like, you know, well, good luck with that one. I don't, you know, like I want goals I can achieve. I want to be able to say, like, I did this. I had an okay day, right? Like, I had a great day. I had a great day. And as it turns out, like, I was a shitty mom in the morning, but I still had a great day because I recovered from it and I went and did this other thing. So yeah, I think there's a lot of rewriting we get to do.
I love it.
Let's talk about one of your huge achievements on that note. You are the founder and executive director of an organization called Legado. Can you share your elevator pitch with our listeners? Tell us about it.
Ooh, fun. Legado works with people all around the world to get to define their own balance, to put it in the context of this. So whatever, that's not a great elevator pitch. So the elevator pitch is Legado works with Indigenous people and local communities in some of the most important areas in our world for biodiversity to create a thriving future on their terms. What that means is that they get to create systems and plans and priorities to protect their environment and to advance their well-being on their terms, not in someone else's. So conventional conservation development have been done to people. What we do is work with the people, with these different communities, so that they set the stage and say, here are all the things that we want to drive for. Here's how we want to educate our kids. Here's how we want to preserve our culture. Here's how we're going to take care of our biodiversity. We get to be in charge of this. But what it ties into what we're talking about, because it's the same thing. It's like, no, you don't set the terms. I get to set the terms for what's going to make me healthy. And I know best what's going to work for my family and my community and that biodiversity that happens to be a global resource, but it's also my home. So that's what Legado does. And we work with communities in Mozambique and Kenya and Peru and growing. We have like a pretty awesome kind of queue of partnerships that are there. We've actually had some conversations about working in Australia, which would be really neat. Because then wow, we could all come climb and go climbing together.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fun? And, you know, it's been this really wild journey. I started with $11,000. And a pretty weird idea about combining climbing and conservation and science on Mount Namuli in Mozambique. And now Legado has grown to what it is today. And we have like a 19-person team and we're kind of holding back this growth moment that we're about to jump into. And it's been made better because of me being a mom. Like, I've absolutely done a better job with Legado and helped it try harder because of my journey as a mother.
Oh, that just gave me goosebumps when you said that. It's so beautiful. And it was actually like leads in well to what I wanted to ask you next, because during, you know, anyone who's read more, and if you haven't, you need to, and we'll put it all in the show notes and all that stuff. But reading your book, you're going through this amazing shift personally, entering motherhood. But Legado went through a massive shift in that time as well. And you know, like, as you said, I'm guessing partially because of that journey that you're going on as a mother. Can you tell us a little bit about that and like how that developed for you on a personal level and for the organization?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, when I began Legado, we had $11,000 primarily from the outdoor industry, groups like Patagonia and Osprey and Petzl jumped in. I went to go see if I could establish a first ascent on this like beautiful granite mountain called Mount Namuli. And the idea was that we would catalyze something and the local community would work with a Mozambican conservation organization and off to the sunset it would go. So that was 2011 when I had that initial idea, right? So it's 2023. And what happened in the meantime is that we stepped into doing conservation with the local Lomwe people on Mount Namuli. And as it turns out, they weren't very interested in conservation without anything else. They're like, why do we have to keep talking about our trees when we have all these other priorities? Like, we want to talk about what we need for our health. We want to talk about what we need for our infrastructure. And I was in this position of saying, I know you do, but I can't help you. And I know you do, but like, I can't really listen to you about that because my funding is for conservation, but I can totally talk to you about how to protect your trees. And by the way, I have a funder who told me that they'll give me all the money we need in the world for fencing, even though fencing wouldn't really work and doesn't feel like the right idea up here. And it's like, and I kind of stepped back and I said, that's not who I want to be, right? Like, I stepped into the conservation lane because as a climber and as someone who's passionate about caring for our world, and the biodiversity world, it was kind of like the lane that was open and easiest to be in. And then when I got there, I'm like, oh, I'm a climber. I like run expeditions. I put together teams to do crazy stuff in the world. That's what I need to be doing here. I don't need to be sitting and following a trajectory that I actually, like what I need to do is say, your goals should be driving this bus, not my goals. So how do I backstop you into action? And again, like that paralleled my journey as a mom of, we were starting to head there already with Legato. And then when I got pregnant and I thought about, and, you know, had these little babies and I'm like, I can't, if someone came into my space and try, like, no, that's not okay. Right? Like we need to have a fundamentally different relationship with the communities that we're engaging with for all international conservation and development. And now there's a time in the world because of what's happened from a social justice landscape over the past 4 years, where we're very much sitting in a moment globally. That wasn't the case when Legato started making this shift, right? It's like, no, you have to follow the rules. You have to sit inside, like you pick one dimension. And I'm like, no, our dimension is to support communities to have an inclusive process where women are driving the agenda as much as men, not just the traditional leaders and the women, the youth, the other typically marginalized groups. And they get to set the agenda around 360 degrees of what they want to drive towards. And then we get to go backstop them. Who wants to play that game? Like who wants to be in that business? Because that's the business that we're in. And it's been amazing and terrifying and stressful and but also but also really amazing. And to see that, like to be at the right place, right time. Because let me tell you, I was not the right place, right time when I started Legato. I got hung up on, I wrote cold emails. So many people I talk about in the book are like, who the hell are you? And why would we ever support you on this journey? So it's good to be here.
When the twins were 4 months old, you went on tour with the film Namuli, which you produced and directed. And it tells the story of this incredible mountain in Mozambique, the people and the biodiversity and the science that sparked the idea for Legato. It's a gorgeous film. It's on YouTube. So we're gonna put the link in the show notes. And yeah. How do you feel about that film, like however, 5 years on now or more, when given Legato's evolved so much?
Oh, I haven't had that question. I have to think about that for a second, Eva. How do I feel about that film? I love that film. That film is what started this. I wish that I could go back and change the end notes. Does that make sense? I mean, I probably could, but it's like the kind of what happened afterwards, because now that would read differently. But that was the genesis of Legato. That was the film we could make then, because that was the, now today, there's a great film, and you guys put it in your show notes too. We have a 4-minute film called Legacy that Legato produced, and it's all about this journey of how you do thriving futures, what it means to like support people on their legacy journey. And like, this is the evolution of our work. So it's a timestamp of how this began, and also of the passion to say, what if we did this differently? What if we smashed together different elements? And at that point, I thought the elements I was trying to put together were climbing and conservation and science. Turns out, those aren't the elements I'm trying to put together today. Today, I'm trying to put together, all the dimensions of human and biodiversity thriving. So it's a little bit more complicated.
Just a little.
It's just a tad. But I think that it's that same spirit of, these things don't go together, or some people think these things don't go together, but they do. And we're going to go do it. And I think like that's something that is, I went through a period of time where I was I sort of wished I wasn't a climber running Legato, right? Like I wish that I could put on this like special vest and have all these logos of like the research institutions that I went to and my conservation background. And then I was like, oh no, actually the fact that I come at this differently, I'm really proud of this, right? Because that's helped create Legato as it is. And I am a committed generalist and I love people who are like that in their work. And that's how I think we've almost over-specialized in the way, as I said, definitely in the way that we have done global conservation and development. And there are spaces for that, but there is a heck of a space for people who are saying, I can make things happen. And I can figure out how to do this is when I go like deep down the hole, which I wanted to like collective action and systems change and all those things that I really love geeking out on. Curiosity is amazing, right? Like we see it in our kids. If any one of us are lucky enough to be able to be curious in our daily life and in our jobs, wow, like hold on to that and take it to the chains.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And I think it's It's just so important, like what you've done with Legato and the way that you've, yeah, I think it's your curiosity, because you went into the project and then you were able to, through your curiosity, to be like, hang on a second, like this is actually what needs to happen. How do we then make that happen? And I think it's so much of what is needed in the world, and I guess particularly around conservation, you know, there's so many grassroots movements, or, you know, whether it's Indigenous people, First Nations people, people who have been on the land for so long, or who are living, as you say, in these areas, that have a lot of the answers that we need as well. And then also working in, it's just this whole web of things, isn't it, that I feel like we've been talking about a lot in this episode, of like, it's never as simple as what you first went to it.
Well, and it's also about like asking, what if I could do it better?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's been the journey of Legato, is not saying, mic drop, didn't we do a great job? It's what if we did it better? What if we push a little bit at that edge where we're not quite sure about something? And it's, you know, being very willing to learn and to be on that journey has been so critical. And I think the humility that goes with that. So, you know, like, I wish in the Namuli film that we had more, like, the people who I now know and work with every day, and our team works with every day on Namuli, aren't in that film. But they couldn't be, because, you know, we didn't have the infrastructure, we hadn't had the relationships built, right? I mean, this is years and years of relationships, of relationship building. And, you know, you look at the way, I mean, we're putting together like our annual report right now, and it's all Namuli community members talking about the future that they're creating. Like, I would have never been able to dream that back in 2014, because I was more of an outsider then. But I had to be an outsider to get this started. And I think that there's a, you know, there's a place at the table for that, but it's got to have a heck of a lot of humility, and you got to be on the learning journey.
Do you feel now that you've been on that journey at Namuli, when you go into new places, your approach is so that those relationships can be built more efficiently and quicker?
Oh man, it's so different. We talk about it all the time. It actually drives some of our funders bananas. They're like, I don't understand. Because I'm like, no, you have to understand that our Namuli program, the dance step goes something like this: FPTJCTQ. And like, now we go A to Z, or our best chance of A to Z, right? But like, come on, we started with $11,000. Like, it's not going to be like, there's just no way that it's going to all line out. And it was where we learned, right? Like, it was where we learned how to keep doing it better. And what we've also done on Namuli, which has been really cool, is go back to all of our Lomwe partners and say, hey, so we came up with a different way of doing this together. Do you want to try that here? And they're like, hell yes. And so now the Namuli communities that we're partnered with are going through the full Thriving Futures process, the way that the Nigalai community in Northern Kenya is doing it, the way that the Machiganga and Megantone communities in Peru are doing it, right? So it's like, and that's sometimes our funders are like, wait, but you've been there, but then you're redoing it. I'm like, no, we are being human and saying, we did this upgrade. You taught us how to do it. So can we fix the dance step? Can we straighten the line? And so when we go into new partnerships, it's so cool, because I can go in there and say, hey, guess what? First of all, I don't go in there. Like, it's my team and it's our local team who goes in there. So, hey, that's awesome. And they get to show up and say, do you want to work with us to create a plan for your future that's completely on your own terms? Like, what a cool offering, right? And like, how we actually get to do that together. So it's radically different. It's so much around relationship, and it comes down to legacy. So legacy, which is what Legato means in Spanish and Portuguese, is like, that's what's fundamental, because it's this question that we all get to create a legacy. So we go in human to human first. Like, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want your community legacy to be? Okay, how do we get into action about that? And it's this deeply profound moment. Like, when I look at pictures, and our team has like this global WhatsApp group, and everyone's like zipping pictures, like, look at us, like, we're doing legacy planning, and like, this woman stood up and she's leading it today, and you know, she happens to be a Samburu woman. And I mean my kids are like, oh, mom's looking at Legato photos because she's crying over there, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, here we are talking about human power, about individual human power that we all have, and oftentimes we just need a moment. We have the respect and the time and the space to harness it in ourselves. And I think that's what Legato gets to do now, which is so cool. So yeah, it's totally different. And we also get to do the same thing with the Lomwe communities we support on Namuli. So For all the funders listening, it's, you know, just, it's okay. It can be both.
Oh, it's just so beautiful. I think, yeah, what you've created is, it's just inspiring. And I don't know, I think, I feel like there's this sense of hope that you're giving to people who for so long have always had a voice, but just didn't have anyone to listen or anyone to back them in making that a reality, in creating their legacy. So it's very beautiful, quite emotional. Just here, like,
I love it. I'll send you photos and you can cry too, you know.
Oh, please do. I'm like just sitting here, like, sucking back tears like every 2 minutes. I'm like, oh my gosh. I think to wrap up the conversation, you know, we all love that you are such a deep thinker and that you are curious and you analyze things and everything. I'm just wondering, you know, letting more go out into the world and do what it's done, how has that affected you personally? What do you think impact releasing your story in the world has made on yourself and your journey?
I am kind of awed by how big and beautiful and hard this world is. And I think like that's maybe the impact on my journey to like see my cousin in Poland write me these incredible messages on Facebook, and we haven't talked for 10 years because she read the book, you know, and to, we haven't talked for 10 years, not because something was wrong, but just because like life and being in different parts of our world. And it's what I was telling you before about having strangers feel so intimately accessible to me. It has made me recognize the rawness, and sometimes it's really scary. Like sometimes I'll have a moment where I'll see someone in my town and I'll look at them and I'll be like, I wonder if they read the book, you know, I wonder if they're looking at me and like, I know a lot about you right now. Like that's like the weird thing is sort of people who are like one step removed from your inner circle who don't really know, like strangers. I love that. Right. And like new relationships, but it's the one step removed people that, that's the moment that I get a little scared, right? Where I'm like, oh my God, you kind of went for it. And a lot of people, not everybody is comfortable with that. I personally, what it's done is it showed me that it really matters to be who you are in the world. I got so busy climbing and starting Legato that I forgot how to write, and more gave me my voice again in a way that's pretty cool.
So beautiful. Congratulations. It's just been, yeah, it's amazing. And thank you and all those things. Yep. Eva, do you have any other things you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
No, I just want to say a huge thank you. I think you're an incredible, inspiring woman, and thank you for being so raw and open with the world.
Well, I can't wait for us to all go climbing. I want to go to Arapiles. I want to go to Arapiles forever.
Yes! So. I also want to go to Arapiles because I've never been.
Me too.
Yes.
Me neither.
You know, so we have an Arapiles journey in our future. And yeah, just thanks. Thanks for reaching out. And that just goes to everybody listening. Like, I love hearing from people if they pick up this book and it moves them. So get in touch, because I think that's how we have conversations and we don't feel so alone out there. So screw balance, screw the loneliness. And here's to the high and the low and the medium and all the ways in between that we all feel while we're doing this. Because guess what? We all feel like that.
I love it. That is a perfect ending to this conversation. Thank you so much, Marco.
Yay, that's so fun. Okay, that just named the day. I'm going to go put kids to bed. Woo!
A huge thank you to all our wonderful listeners at home. We hope you have the most incredible, safe, fulfilling festive season. We are going to have a few weeks break, as you do around this time of year, and we will be back on the 17th of January with a brand new guest. Who is it, Nell?
Yeah, that's right. We are going to be welcoming Erin Gilpin to the podcast. Oh, this woman, she has my heart, honestly. She's just beautiful. Erin's an educator, a filmmaker, a rock climber. She's the founder of Indigenous Women Climb, and she is a mama. We absolutely adored this chat with Erin. I think there was a lot of tears between us all. And
yes,
it was such an open heart discussion. Really, really excited to share this one with you guys. But until then, hope you get some climbing in.